read my picture just to see what it felt like. A digital fixture in a world that seems so lifelike. So I type the way I feel inside that makes me want to fight. And I try to not mistake love with anything that might feel like hype. A roll of the dice.
Welcome back to Dating Games, a modern relationships podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps. And for this host episode, we are joined by a very special guest co-host, which I love to listen back to episodes I've done with people because it counts as research. And there's something sort of reassuring about listening to old episodes and being like, oh, I wasn't awful a year ago. And I didn't realize until listening back, you were the first ever repeat guest we had.
Yeah, actually, I think you mentioned that to me when I was in Dublin, and I was like, really? And I was like, oh, I feel so special. So thank you.
I think you're our first guest for the third time as well. Congratulations. So many firsts. Perfect. Also, that's so me that I told you that I did remember I told you, and I've since forgotten again. That is how my mind works.
No, it was great. I forgot until now. And then when you were like, oh, and I was like, oh, yeah, this will be like the third time. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I do. I feel special. So thank you. Like, it's very, I love coming back here and chatting to you about all things dating, because that's also my life. Right? And so it's nice to talk it out.
Yeah, there's a certain camaraderie in being like, our lives are also weird, where so often we talk about it more than we do it.
Exactly. Or like me, who's just like given up now, like completely. So I'm like, you know, it's like, I feel like I can talk about dating because I'm not really doing it. But it's kind of nice. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is good.
Ooh, okay. Well, that's very interesting to get into. First, though, I should introduce who this voice is. So the wonderful Eleanor Gabrielle, a comedian, incredible storyteller, fellow podcaster who tours the world talking about dating and encouraging other people to do the same, including, I've got to see now live the way that your audience donate their stories on little slips of paper, then read out at the end of the show. And, you know, you did the show in Dublin and the audience did not disappoint.
They're pretty fun. I think, like, I was trying to remember their stories from that show. I mean, I do it so often that sometimes, like, it's only like the real cream of the crop that kind of stay in my mind. I can't remember what.
And like, by cream of the crop, you mean ones involved shitting?
Yeah, cream of the crop or semen, either one. Like any kind of bodily kind of fluid, let's be honest. But it's something like that.
And so tell me, what was... Hold on, there was something else I was going to transition into before I asked you about the single thing. Damn it. Oh, no, I remember. I do think we have a similar precarious position at times of being so known for talking about relationships whilst the majority of the time not being in them.
Yeah, it's a weird, like, I always think about that because sometimes you'll meet dating coaches and stuff that are single and you're like, oh, like, that's not filling me with confidence, the fact that you're single and you're telling me how to date someone, like, which sometimes I feel that on stage, but then again, I'm not getting out there being like, hey guys, this is the key to a wonderful relationship. I'm out there being like, this fucked up date happened and this is the moral to the story, basically. So yeah, I don't know. I'm like, it's a bit weird sometimes when I'm always talking about dating, but at least I'm not offering advice. And if people ask me for advice, I just tell them what I do. I don't really think that works for me.
Fair.
It's bad advice.
You know what, though? I say that, but like, I am biased on this. I think our perspective is very valid. And I don't like this kind of fixed idea that to be an expert, you have to be in a relationship, because that by no means guarantees you're in a good relationship that you actually
True.
Would want other people to be in, right? So I think that sort of binary is silly. And instead, like, it can be very empowering for people to hear, like, okay, it's not always happily ever after. In fact, is it ever? Like, even if you get the quote-unquote happily ever after, you know, talk to married couples, the first thing they'll tell you is how much work it is.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, like, there's also this kind of bliss of being single as well, because it's like you don't have that. But then I think being in a relationship is a whole other skill level that, you know, I always think about with me, I've been single for so long that, like, it's an adjustment and there's a lot of compromise. If you are single for a long time and it keeps, you know, you just keep being single and single and single, I find it's always harder to get into a relationship because you're just so set in, particularly as you get older, like set in your ways, you know, you have your life, you have your schedule, I think. And a lot of people get to a point where they just don't want to compromise. Like, I have a lot of friends in their, you know, late 30s and 40s and stuff who are single, particularly women, and they're just, they have these amazing lives, and it's like they're just, no person can fit into that life, you know, and they're not just willing to compromise. So I do think it's, relationships are a skill. Yeah, I guess, I don't know, that's interesting that you say that you don't have to be in a relationship to kind of, but I guess it's kind of what kind of relationship you're after, because I think that very like Christian kind of relationship, you know, like where you see these Instagrammers and they're like, you know, they're very religious and they've got the kids and the husband and everything just looks perfect and everything's great. And you're like, that's not for everyone, you know. I don't know why I said that. I've just been looking at a lot of like randomly Christian influencers lately. So I think that's why. So it kind of weirds me out a little bit. No offense to anyone who's religious and listens to this podcast, but yeah, how are you finding the dating at the moment? That's what I was going to ask you, because we didn't get a chance to chat when I was in Dublin.
Yeah, well, kind of similar is that I am feeling like comfortably single to a whole new level now. For a long time, I've felt most myself when I was single. And I understand that that is something that has needed examining, right? Because that's generally a sign of, are you compromising who you are when you're getting in relationships? Or are you kind of trying more to fit or to be the idea of someone that you think you should be for a relationship that's different from your regular self? And so there's definitely been a lot of figuring out there. And then kind of through having this show, talking about like single shame more and realizing like, okay, in certain ways, I've not had as much of it. Partly that can be to do with gender, but also it still is there. You still can soak a certain amount of it up. And so I think it's been, for me, very empowering to get to be known for talking about dating and other people relate to my experiences, which I didn't think were relatable at all. And actually, you know, we're all kind of out there experiencing wild shit. And in that, it's kind of similar, right? Whereas I was like, oh, maybe my experience isn't transferable to anyone else's. Maybe it's just me doing my own weird niche kind of life. And so that's been very cool. And to realize like, oh, a lot of other people have this kind of internalized like feelings of, you know, I feel very empowered by singledom, but also there is still that part of me that's like, but don't close the door completely, because then you'll miss them. And I'm not convinced anymore it does work like that. I think absolutely take breaks. I've always thought that, right? But I think now I actually believe that that's not going to cost me. Whereas there was a part of me, I think, in the back of my mind, whispering away, being like, but don't be out of the dating pool for too long.
Yeah, I think that's like an interesting thing. There's a few things going through my head when you were talking about that, because I think the relatability stuff that you were talking about with, you know, people listening and whatever, like the amount of times I have people come to my shows, like I'm like, why are you here? Like I have virgins come to my shows. I had a girl come who was 15 when she started watching my videos and is now 18 and came to a show. And, you know, and it's just to hear some of these people, I have, you know, gay men, queer people, lesbian, like I have people from all across the LGBTQIA+ community and stuff where I'm predominantly straight. Like I, you know, I have been very bisexual in the past, but I kind of feel like I'm very much more straight. That's where I'm headed now. So I find it's really funny that like I can be up on stage and I'm talking about my experience as a straight woman dating, and I have people who I wouldn't think would relate to me come up afterwards and be like, oh, like, I can relate to that, or like, that's so cool, and or not relate to it all but still enjoy it and learn something from it is, yeah, it's always like a fascinating thing. And I think that's why it is important that we're talking about dating so openly, because it has changed so much, even in the last like 15, 20 years. Like it's completely different to what it used to be. So yeah, I think it's been a good thing to talk about and relatability.
Mm-hmm. And what people are looking for is so different. Like that's been something really great to see, how the idea of what constitutes a relationship is just so much broader than when we were younger. And, you know, it reminds me of what you said of like having loads of friends that are at a certain age in their life and they're really cool, and they kind of, that bias in our brain, right, of like good people have good relationships can kind of kick in, and you're like, oh, my friend is really cool and has the best career and has so much going for them. Why are they single? Because there's still that part of you that kind of has that default mentality of like, that's what we're all aiming for, because that's how we were all raised to have that same kind of aim in mind. And, you know, so part of it is like, you know, is that the path for everyone? No. But then another part of it is like, the path is way broader. So, you know, maybe for you kind of touring the world with your comedy, there is that part of it where like, it would be nice to have someone to come to home to, but also, is that the most realistic option? Or is it that you are with someone else that tours? Or is it that you have something that's sort of more fluid and created to fit your life versus, you know, I try and shoehorn my really cool global experience into, but I've still got to get myself tethered down to something conventional.
Yeah. And I think like, I think that's always something that even for me now, like I know what I want in a relationship and I know what I'm looking for because I am, you know, my mid-30s now and I do want the option to have kids. Like that's something. So I think once you kind of know what you want and what you're looking for when it comes to dating, I think you can alleviate so much more shit like from your life. So like now I know like, okay, I want someone who wants a long-term relationship. I want someone who wants kids like that. What I'm, and even if I mean, you know, I say that and then, you know, divorce rates and all that sort of stuff, but like, I just want someone who wants the same thing and that's what I want. And it's been very easy to date because now like, you know, I get a message on Instagram or like DM slides or if I'm on Tinder or a dating app like previously, it would be like, okay, this guy's a fuckboy. Like that's, he, like I can tell like this person doesn't want that. So I can just be like automatically no, do you know? Or I can just be like, okay, this is just sex and you can compartmentalize your dating life a lot easier when you know what you want. And I think there's a lot of people that are kind of dating for the, like they don't know why they're dating or they want, or they have abandonment issues or they want love or they need validation. I think it's really important to kind of know what you want in a relationship. And I think that can really just make dating so much easier and take away so much stress.
Oh, for sure. And I was even talking about something like this with my friend Nina yesterday about how often you can compromise what you want, you know, even if you do know what it is, because there can be this sort of toxic wizard in you that says like, what if you maintain your boundaries? What if you reject all the fuckboys and there's no one left? Is there anyone that's going to kind of make sense with all the things we want, or are we being too fussy and too picky? And I think part of that is internalized, like what other people might say. And so that's lovely to hear that you're at that point where you're like, no, now I swipe at nauseam. I'm just left.
Yeah, it's like, it's been interesting. And I've had a couple of, because my new show is all about that, basically. It's about being, you know, mid-30s, single, having a biological clock, wanting children. And I envy women who don't want kids. Like, I look at them and I'm like, I just wish I was you. I wish I could, because my life would be so much more fun, like a lot less stressful, and I wouldn't feel like I had this kind of pressure on me. But the thing is, I do want kids. I want a family. And that's a very hard thing to be in because time goes quickly. And when you're like mid-30s and you're constantly thinking about your biological clock, how much time, okay, I've got to meet someone, and then it's like 2 years, and then like then you, if you get married or like whatever, it's like, or do then you just have a baby by yourself? Like, so there's a lot of things to think about in that kind of, yeah, in this realm. And I think there's not a lot of people that really talk about that. Like, I think there's, we either see people who have kids and then we see people who just don't want kids and don't have that. But I think this voice of like, you know, these single women and also men who, or like anyone who wants kids in their 30s, it's just the pressure that's very hard to explain to some people who don't kind of get it. But yeah, I think like coming back to like what we're talking about, like just knowing what you want is just so much easier when it comes to the dating.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And you're currently back in Australia staying with your parents, and you kind of hinted off air your standards may be real great right now, but the Tinder fodder has been an experience.
I miss Europe so much, Bobby. Like last night I was like, I just wish I was back in Europe, and I was swiping on sexy German men and sexy French and Italian and Spanish, and I'll even take an English man. I don't care. Just give me something. It's just so bad. It's so bad. Yeah, like it's terrible.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Literally everyone has the same haircut now in Australia, which is like a mullet. Like it's kind of like this, like a fade and then a mullet and a mustache.
Oh, real big in Ireland. Yeah, because for the longest time for men, it was just like shaved or fade and then just a bit on top, maybe straight, maybe curly. And so the mullet is seemingly the evolution of that.
It's hideous. It's so bad. And they all look the same. I'm like, these men, like I'm swiping on Tinder and all the Aussies, like they just look the same. And I'm like, and I go to the gym and they look the same. And I'm like, I don't find this attractive at all, but also like great hair. Like a lot of them are really, I mean, you have great hair. So that's like you could also totally rock a mullet. They're totally.
What would you do if I took the hat off and revealed a mullet now?
I would be like, I've got to go now, Bobby. Be nice talking.
No, I'm the same though. I do love the mullets, but there is that part of me that finds it very entertaining with men's fashion where like sometimes I wonder, like, are certain things trends or is it just like a tiny annex of like what is an additional acceptable masculinity and then we all kind of cluster there and it's not so much a trend as like a further stereotype of masculinity. Because I have a man bun. I'm late to that trend, but I have long hair and that's one of the handy options for it, right? And it's funny that I remember when that was like all the rage, because it was like, okay, you can have long hair, but only in this specific way where you hide it in a tiny ball.
Yeah, it's not feminine. It's not feminine. It's in the top. It's up here. It's fine. It's fine. It looks like, you know, a ball. So it's fine.
Yeah, and I kind of feel that way with the mullets. I do love a lot of them. It's just that's the silly bit to me that they, you know, that everyone seems to have them right now. They kind of lose their novelty. And I do love the bad mullets. You know, my favorite of the bad mullets is, you know, when they have fully a right angle cut in over the ear, like it's just been done very far too strictly. There's no curve, just a right angle on both sides. It makes me very happy.
I can't say I've seen that before. That might be a trend in Ireland, but that sounds hideous. Like
it makes me want to poke it. I want to go poke the corner.
Yeah, my cousin actually has the best mullet I've ever seen, and he works in a bar, and like this really kind of trendy bar in Melbourne, and he's got this mullet, and then he's got this like blonde, just like rainbow kind of like color through his hair. Like it looks, it's like goes red, orange and yellow, like this big massive strip in his mullet, and it looks perfect. Like that's the only mullet I will accept, if it's got like a rainbow in it. That's it. Anything else? No.
That's so fun. I love it. And so, yeah, so disappointing sounds to be the overture of Tinder back home.
Well, to be, like, I mean, I haven't, like, I sort of, when was it? Like August. I just sort of said to myself, like I had some bad experiences with some guys in July, like when I was like back in Berlin, and I just got off all the dating apps. And also I knew because I, you know, August, September till basically January when I get back to Berlin, I'm going to be traveling so much. And I knew that I wouldn't, like there's no point in me being on a dating app because if I match with someone, I'm leaving the next day or like whatever. But I just downloaded them. Sometimes I just download them again and like set it all up again just to see like what's around, just to see what the trends are and this kind of stuff. And I was like, I'm here. I was like, suss it out. And yeah, it's pretty brutal. So although there's an international volleyball festival in my hometown for the next couple of days. And so I was like on Tinder, I was like, is there any French or Spanish? That's what I was doing. I was just looking for the internationals. I'm like, where are they? They're on here somewhere.
Maybe Berlin's going to come to you.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, we'll see.
Nice. Okay, now I'm getting what you mean by the kind of like giving up, that you're like, I know what I want and we're not settling for anything less. So we're just going to take pauses as needed.
Yeah, and I think it's also, I mean, sex is so easy to find and so easy to get. And I know, like, you know, even... No, but it's like, it's not even that. Like, I went on a couple of dating apps, like Field in Berlin, and it's literally, like, you could get sex quicker than your Uber Eats delivery if you wanted to. Like, it's such a hypersexual city that, you know, it, like, literally,
this is what I've heard,
like,
though.
Fuck now.
Yeah, because you're not the only person I know that's moved to Berlin and found the dating scene disappointing, right? Because I think a lot of the stereotypes are this kind of like free and open approach, and everyone's like up front and people are into all kinds of different relationship dynamics. And that's really cool. But what they don't mention is, like, where's the consistency? Where's the people that are ready to commit to something versus like sleep around? And yeah, you need that too.
Yeah, it's definitely like that. And yeah, of course. And like, that's fine. But after a while, it's like, again, like, it's not what I'm looking for. Like, if I wanted that, great, life would be great. And I have a friend of mine, and she's a bit older than me, and she, like, she'll go through phases, obviously not all the time, because, you know, it's life and we go through ups and downs. But there was a time when she was just on Bumble like crazy because she is, you know, nearly 50. She doesn't
I love that phrase.
Pregnant. She's not worried about this.
On Bumble like crazy. It's not the app you think of for that. And yeah, I love that for her.
Yeah, I think, like, I don't know, she's, like, very feminist, so I think that's why Bumble is the app of choice for her.
Mm-hmm.
But she was going crazy. Like, she had a great time on it because that's what it was. It was just purely for sex. It was, like, the connection, you know, intimacy or whatever, but, like, on a very superficial kind of level. But she had a great time. And, again, like, I would envy that. But then also, if you're in your late 40s and you're not worried about getting pregnant, you don't want a monogamous relationship, you don't have kids or whatever, it's fun, you know, like, you can really have fun on that. But yeah, I just got to a point where I was like, you know what, like, I don't want sex anymore. And also traveling so much, I was so tired, and, you know, being back with my parents, like, I'm not going to be like, well, hey guys, come on over to my bedroom, like my childhood bedroom, you know, it's not like that. So it's actually been a kind of nice period of, like, not, you know, having sex and all that sort of stuff, and just taking that away and feeling like, yeah, it's been interesting. It's been fun, actually. Rather than, like, I don't know.
No, that's
I've just
been
nice. Too busy. It's too
busy. No, it sounds good. And yeah, you don't need to make any excuses for it, because that sounds quite cleansing. And I'm a big believer in, like, we can do a lot of growth on our own. And that, I think, is very essential.
Yeah.
We won't get into it now, but, like, I have a friend where I had, like, a whole intervention, because I was worried about him, like, going from relationship to relationship and having no gaps. And, you know, he still thanks me all the time for, like, intervening, because he, like, actually figured out what he wanted in that time, in a way that, like, whether it was, like, worrying about being alone, or whether it was just not knowing how to be on his own, you know, it didn't really give him the breathing space to be like, okay, what relationship am I really looking for? Versus kind of getting in one and being like, is it this? I'm not sure if it's this. I hope it is.
But I think those kind of people who do that, and I was a little bit like that as well. Like, I'd always have someone, like, even after my, like, ex, and then I pretty much, like, had kind of cut him off and then went into another relationship and had that in my mind. And I think when you're that kind of person and you're jumping, you're the kind of people pleaser. You're the empath. You're the person in the relationship that is willing to compromise and not put yourself first. And it's like, that's what I've actually found. Like, this whole year I've been, like, 100% single for the first time in, like, a while. And I just realized, like, you realize what you value and what you want, and you just are able to think more, and you're not going to put up with shit from someone else because they want to do something, they do this. And yeah, it's so, 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 so important to have that time to think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And yet, talking about phases of life, we're coming up to a time of year when sometimes there can be a little bit too much time to think, and there can be certain family pressures coming in. And we were talking off air about, I didn't know we had this in common, that we both have a sibling who is in a long-term relationship, who's kind of unintentionally showing us up and making it look easy.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the difficult thing. That's the thing that I hate the most, because I think, particularly in my small town, like, it's terrible for dating because everyone's in, like, everyone moves here when they have a family or they have kids or whatever. It's just not conducive for, like, a single lifestyle so much, particularly in your, like, 30s or 40s or 50s or whatever. And yeah, I feel terrible for saying this, but, like, my best friend is also single, same age as me. And we just went on holiday together with my family. And it was also just, like, nice for them to see her, like, her kind of dating struggle as well, because I think you know, it's a bit different when it's just me saying it, but they see everyone else around them with these, you know, gorgeous, like, magazine cover kind of perfect relationships. And that's just, yeah, not the reality, particularly when you live in a big city and you're not in, like, the sort of more country or, like, kind of areas.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if I've shared this with the gamers before, but my sister is in first ever relationship and they've been together for, I think, 3 years now. And, yeah. You know, I have noticed a shift. So last Christmas was the first Christmas where I had the questions from my parents. And I was kind of, I think, hoping to myself, that wasn't who they were. Like I get it. Do you know what I mean? They want to see their children happy and they're in a, like, happy relationship. They've stayed together and all of that. So it's completely understandable to me. But I was keeping my fingers crossed of, like, maybe this isn't going to be a conversation we ever need to have. And seemingly that kind of tipped the balance of, like, we'd also really like to see, you know, what about you? Like, who are you going to get settled down with? Like, what's happening? And I'm like, don't have answers to these questions.
Yeah. Some people are just not, like, happy in relationships. I think coming back to what we were just saying, like, before about, like, this, like, empath, or if you're a people pleaser, you can lose yourself in a relationship.
Is that me? Like, is that your diagnosis? Some people just aren't happy in relationships.
Like, it's also,
you're done for. Give up the ghost now.
I'm talking more about myself, not about you.
Okay.
It depends. Like, if you, like, want a relationship, if that's what you want, but it, like, there is this kind of, you know, stereotypical idea that if you don't have someone else, you're not going to be happy. And I hate that, because I think so many, you know, I mean, they've done research and stuff about women are actually better single and men are better in relationships. Like, I don't know if that covers all different kind of sexual orientations and stuff, but I know for a fact that all my single friends, or, like, all single female friends, do way better than anyone I know in a relationship, because they're just happier.
And this stuff has been really studied, because, like, it's difficult to quantify better, right? But there have been studies into, for example, like, life expectancy. And for women, it gets shorter if you're in a long-term relationship, and men, it gets longer.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think all of this kind of comes back to the idea that there is no right way, like, being in a relationship or not being in a relationship, that, like, that needs to all go in the bin, that kind of narrow way of thinking about it. And so, no, I think I can absolutely see both of us in relationships. And I'm also trying to kind of shift the idea of, like, maybe I'm kind of tricky to match, like, maybe I'm kind of niche in some way, because I think you can take on a lot of blame at times when you're like, that is a question, maybe I should have an answer to why I'm single. And, you know, I think the answer is, like, I like being single enough to not panic and be with anyone is a big part of it, because there definitely are, you know, options out there. There are exes that circle back every so often, and they're not relationships that I want. And so I think that's part of it. And also, I've been meaning to talk about this on a host episode, actually. I've got this kind of theory that there's almost like a bell curve of working on yourself in terms of relationships. So let's say you use therapy as a kind of linear example of this. You go into therapy, you start learning a lot about yourself, you start digging up certain things that are unexamined, you kind of go in with one issue and you're like, oh, I've got 10 more things to work on. Shit. And then maybe there's a kind of curve with that where, in a way, it makes less sense for you to be in a relationship because you're figuring out a lot of stuff. You've got a lot of additional things that you're working through that maybe you didn't know were issues yet. And then at a certain point, you kind of start coming back up again where you're sort of working through a certain amount of things. And, you know, the idea is you reach a different level to where you began. So, you know, there can be that scary bit that I talk about a lot on my mental health podcast of, like, therapy can get harder, can make life feel harder before it makes life feel easier. That's a sign that it's working, that you're getting to really important stuff, not a sign that you should, like, panic and run away. If, you know, if you can stick with it, do, right? And so, you know, as you work through this stuff, then you hopefully get to a point where you reach a new level of kind of contentedness with your life. You're less triggered by things. You're able to connect with other people, including in romantic relationships, easier. And so kind of that's the bell curve.
That's really interesting. I think I kind of agree with that. And I think it's kind of what I've been on theme on all the things, like just knowing what you kind of want and working through that. Because again, getting into bad relationships or being with the kind of people, like, are you there for validation? Are you there because you need someone to tell you you're beautiful every day? Or do you need the sexual validation? Or do you need this or like whatever? And I think those things are so external that we're searching for. And, you know, when you do the therapy and you get to a point where you're like, well, fuck it. Like, cause that's also where I am now. And it's like, I'd spent so many years in relationships just giving because I thought that's what it was supposed to be like, because that was also how I was taught what a relationship was. And I think those things you just kind of unlearn, and then you kind of go, well, if I'm in a relationship, am I really going to be happier? Or because, you know, some everything you learn about your relationships, you model off your parents or you model off kind of people that you see growing up. And if that doesn't match where you are now, and particularly in this like modern society, it's like, I don't know, like I still have these very old traditions. And when I get into a relationship, I turn into that Italian wife where I'm cooking and cleaning and doing all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's just like, I do lose myself a little bit. I mean, there's something that I like, that there's this kind of piece to it because it's something that is nostalgic to me. But I just know that like there are things that I'm aware of now from doing therapy. It's like, okay, when I get into a relationship, I will do these things. And you have to really work hard. Like we were saying before we started, like relationships are hard work. And, you know, are you prepared to put in the hard work, or are you just going to be like, okay, like I'll just revert back to this kind of person? Mm-hmm. But yeah, therapy 1000% is just so important, particularly for relationships. And I mean, I've never done couples therapy. I don't know if you ever have.
No.
But yeah, I don't know how that would go, because I feel like people would probably go to couples therapy too late into a relationship, because it's always, you know, like it's like that thing they say where like go to therapy, you know, it's always when you hit rock bottom that's when you go, but you should actually be preventatively doing therapy to get there. You know, well, I don't know why we're talking so much about therapy. I was like, is this the which podcast are we doing?
I mean, it's very us, isn't it?
It is very us. Dating, psychology, mental health, it's all related.
Yeah. And this is a thing, right? So that's the example that comes to mind. But when I say working on yourself, it can mean so many things. You know, there's so many factors that can make dating trickier in the short term, but potentially really pay off in the long term. Like working on your career, the harder you work on it, you know, the less time you have for dating, for example. But then if you're really working on it, then the, you know, planned outcome for that is you create more financial stability for yourself. You create a life where you're hopefully doing work that you really enjoy and have created a place where you're really proud of in your life. And, you know, that is, you know, that's progress. That's a place where relationships should be easier as well, when you're kind of more comfortable and happy with how things are going. And then you're like, okay, and now who do I bring into this? So I think there's all these examples where in the short term, it can make things trickier, but it pays off. And I think maybe for a long time, well, I think for a while, maybe up until quite recently, I sort of worried about like, am I becoming undateable? Because like this stuff potentially sort of narrows your pool. Like working on figuring out who you are, working out and figuring out your standards, reaching a certain level of like career where you're like, I think it would make sense to be with someone that also is really passionate about their work, or maybe high powered to the similar level. You know, all these things can kind of narrow the pool of maybe who might make sense to you. And that can then feel like a threat of like, is there going to be anyone left? And the reassuring thing I've kind of realized about that, that's the process no matter what. Like we, you know, the majority of our relationships, I think you look back on and you're like, oh, I wouldn't go back there. Oh, that wasn't, you know, good choices were not being made. And that's, rather than that being some kind of personal flaw, that's how it should be. That our pool gets narrower until we kind of close in on, okay, what relationship or relationships make most sense further on in our life. You know, what feels like us really living our authentic life versus kind of trying to figure out a template that we, you know, learned as a child when we didn't know better. So that's been the nice kind of reassuring place I've reached now, where I'm like, actually, it's not that I'm undateable. It's just that I have better standards. And that's the point. That's what we're meant to be aiming for, that we're kind of ruling a lot of people out. And if they maybe are also ruling me out because I talk about therapy too much, or they find my career intimidating, I know that's what you get, then it wouldn't have worked with them anyway.
Exactly.
And you have to be 100% authentically you. And I think as well, like, you know, we're not like, when you work on yourself and you realize your self-worth and your validation and like in yourself, self-validation, self-worth, all this sort of stuff, you're not going to be answering those, you know, 2 a.m. are you up texts, or, you know, trying to get validation from someone who sends you a dick pic at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, like, or whatever. Like, you know, I wouldn't do that now. Like, but there was an old version of myself that would, like, because I needed, like, you know, I needed this fuck boy to be like, oh yeah, like, you know, I want to fuck you. But like, I mean, it's just sex at the end of the day. It's not intimacy. It's not, you never leave those situations feeling good about yourself. So yeah, I definitely think, like, you're right. You just have to kind of, I don't know, the pool does get smaller. But I'm also at the point now, like, someone asked me the other day for dating advice, and this has been my dating advice to myself. I watched a podcast, like, or watched, like, on YouTube and stuff, this interview a while ago. He just said, like, match the energy that they're giving you. And ever since I had that one bit of advice, it has helped me so much, because I'm like, no, like, even the other day, like, I was going to go message this guy that I was like, oh, he's hot, like, I'd be there. And I'm like, wait a minute, he didn't reply to my last text. Like, what am I, what, mm-hmm. like, why?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what, maybe because he's hot? Like, who gives a fuck, you know? Like, no, I'm very...
It's real people pleaser 101, isn't it? To be like, they're putting in half the effort, I need to double mine.
But ever since that, it's just been amazing. I'm like, okay, if they're messaging me and checking in on me or like whatever, I will message back. But if I don't hear from them, I'm not carrying this conversation. I'm not trying to do, like, yeah, I think even the other day, like, there was a guy I was quickly chatting to on Hinge, because I was just like, you know, I was like, oh, whatever. And like, I just was like asking questions, and it was like one word answers. And I'm like, why am I? No. And then I'm just like, unmatched. Like, I don't, like, how is this going to be good in real life if, like, the messages on here are such hard work? I was like, no, bye-bye. I'm done.
Yeah. No, it's so true. I mean, my least favorite one to get is the, it's been ages. How are you doing? And I'm at a point now where maybe this is toxic, I don't know. But I can't help but reply and be like, oh, for sure. Like, I was wondering if I'd hear from you. Like, just immediately bat it back, because so often the expectation has been with a lot of things with me that I'm the one that's better at keeping in touch, and therefore that's my job. Yeah. And that assumption can come in even when someone hasn't spoken to me in a year. They're still like, oh, it's been ages. And I'm like, yes, it has. Like, that's all I have to say to that, you know?
What I hate the most about that is, like, if they say that, but they watch all your Instagram stories, you're like, you know exactly what's going on in
here. It hasn't been ages. Like, yeah, you've been here. You've just not messaged me. Yeah.
Yeah, or it's just because I posted a sexy photo, or you saw something that made you want to text me. Like, it just, I'm like, ah, dude, like, you follow me, you could message me any day. Like, it's, yeah, it's like, yeah, I get that.
People are wild. All right. And so on that note, when we're both feeling uplifted, empowered, we know what we want, maybe we've solved it. Imagine if this was the last episode, if this was just the mic drop of, like, done a lot of therapy, we've talked about it at times more than we should, and we're done. They can come find us now. But tell me this, what's the plan going into Christmas? So if we're gonna quite possibly get questions, what's the plan?
Well, I have a wedding the week before Christmas, so that's going to be fun. Although I don't really know these people, so I'm kind of hoping that there's a hot singles table that I can just jump on and be like, hey, what's up? So I have a wedding and then I have Christmas, but I think it'll be fine. I'm just like, I'm honestly just really here to spend time with family, because it's been kind of, and I have a few friends, like, just seeing more friends and stuff. Like, I really, yeah, there'll be not really any dating until I get back to Europe. Then. And yourself, what about you for before Christmas? I know I dodge all the questions.
I think same. I think, yeah, the plan is to dodge them, you know, or maybe just take the win, just ask about my sister's relationship and just move the conversation on to her. No, I'm feeling very chill about it. The cuffing season has mostly been something I've managed to kind of fend off the angsty feelings about. I mean, I have, you know, seen the usual, like, you go and run an errand and, you know, you're just out trying to buy milk and it seems like everyone is holding somebody's hand and you're like, where did these couples all come from? And there's something kind of fun of being like, this is part of my work now. I know it's cuffing season. Yous are all just swimming in the same direction. Is that bad?
It's not cupping season in the Southern Hemisphere. So yeah, I'm like kind of enjoying everyone being kind of like out and about. But yeah, I get it. Like I don't think it's bad at all. Not at all. It's your life. Live it. Whatever we're going to do to be happy.
Yeah, same. I'm looking forward to catching up with loads of friends. I'm looking forward to seeing my family. The other single people will still be there in the new year.
They will be. And they'll probably still be single like us. And next time we talk, it'll be like, yeah, we're still there. I don't know.
Cool. Well, we'll wrap up there. Thank you so much for joining me. It's always so lovely to catch up with you. We've had such a cute little friendship that's been like half online, half when we're like unexpectedly in the same city. It's fun.
I know. It was so lovely to meet you finally. But I forgot because I just felt like we were like old friends. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. I haven't met you before. Like, it's kind of like, but that's what.
Oh, no, because we fully did that like running up to each other, like running into an embrace thing that you do with like a long lost friend from school.
I know. I think that's also the power of like kind of like connections during lockdown as well. I think they were like really, really special. So because we all have collective trauma from that time. So it's nice to be able to be like, meet people in person that you did talk to quite a bit over lockdown.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we'll wrap up there. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
For the full experience, you can join our subscription on Apple Podcasts to access extended ad-free episodes. Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta.
The music is Digital Damage by me, Emma Becco.
We're proud to be an independent production.
And leaving a quick review is another way to support the show.
Speak to you next Friday. Until then, good luck out there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.